We rise to hear the Holy Gospel. The Gospel appointed for this day, and also the basis for our message, is from Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 10. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven, their angels always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 who never went astray. For it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For if two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. This is the Gospel of the Lord. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As the book of Romans continues after our epistle today, we know that the law does not save us. The law condemns us. We are all convicted by that, Jew and Gentile alike. We all stand under the judgment throne of God. And we are convicted by that kind of word. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory in Jesus Christ, that we can at the same time, in the same breath, with the same matter of conviction, have affirmed for ourselves and announced to the people of God that we are forgiven in Jesus Christ. That Jesus' death on Calvary's cross has washed us clean, has paid the penalty. We stand forgiven before the throne of God. And we wake to that every day. Because Bonhoeffer says that confession, repentance, and the resulting forgiveness is the joy of baptism over and over again. When the light springs up like leaping morning, he writes, his forgiveness makes me arise and shine. We celebrate that as God's people, as believers and disciples in Jesus Christ, and well we should. As a forgiven people of God, however, we must also see that that forgiveness which is purchased through Jesus Christ is that which changes our attitude and raises our altitude in terms of the way we live it and preach it, and find constant conviction and enthusiasm in it. And that tension, as well as that balance, of knowing that we are sinner and saint, that the law judges us, the gospel saves us, is a message that we take to heart and that we are excited about sharing in our personal evangelism, in our ministries, wherever they might be. That's what Matthew 18 expresses today, first of all, is that taking the height of that forgiveness which is in Jesus Christ, it does change our attitude about things. I'm amazed how constantly, even as pastors and teachers in the church, to constantly announce this forgiveness within the worship service on a one-to-one basis in a conference situation, preach it over and over again, finds that it often doesn't change our attitude about things. We affirm approach parishioners, we approach spouses, we approach friends, colleagues, under the law. There is no forgiveness. There is no spirit of genuine harmony within the body of Christ. As we approach the synodical convention this summer, we hear it over and over again. That's the attitude that people believe we're taking into American Church Convention. Resolutions that are written, words that are spoken publicly, but even more so behind one another's back, speak out of an arrogance and a wrong attitude that announces anything but the loving, forgiving, reconciling good news of Jesus Christ. And we really have to guard against that. We pray for the Spirit's help in changing our attitudes and not only hearing that forgiveness, not only believing that forgiveness in Jesus, but living it as well. The angels of God, God himself, the text says, rejoices over the sinner who repents, even more over the 99 who have no need of repentance. Her attitude is often like the two guys who are camping in the woods. One night they were startled by the loud grunt and growl of a grizzly bear. And sure enough, there he was, right outside their camp, headed exactly for the two of them. While one man strayed for his gun, while the other was literally putting his sneakers on. The guy with the gun says, "You don't think you're going to outrun that thing, do you?" Here's the other one who says, "Well, I don't have to. I only have to outrun you." Must be finals week. It takes a little longer for those to penetrate. But that's the attitude we bring to the gospel. We only have to outrun somebody else. We only have to make it past the next day. It's an attitude that we bring to our ministry, to the desire to bring lost souls to Jesus Christ, even in our homes and in our marriages, the classrooms, places like the seminary, to the synod, and to many, many other places. We blame it on the marketplace. And yet, as many people and parishes of mine have told me, there often is more forgiveness and more love that goes on in the marketplace and goes on in the church. And there again, we fall on our knees and beg the mercy of God because we know that the only thing that changes our attitude is the love of Jesus Christ. And we bring him right back into the middle of those confrontations, those conflicts. Our job is not to manage conflict. Our job is to bring the good news of Jesus Christ into those conflicts. For it is only he who solves them. The desire of the will of God is that none should perish. Not even one of those little ones. And it's that kind of attitude then that changes things. And especially changes the hearts of us. For leaders in the church. For we go out to win that delinquent back to Jesus Christ, not with the persuasion that we can bring to the situation, not so that he or she can be counted again in the records of our church, but so that person can be brought again to the cross of Jesus Christ, where the healing touch of God's love in Christ can take over. If we come with any other attitude, personally, local churches, seminary campuses, through the church, or anywhere else, we're going to fail. But our attitudes are changed by the love of Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate today. And there is more joy in heaven over our repentance and over the repentance of those who turn again to Jesus Christ. Even as the text which you will hear tomorrow read as the gospel, Peter sang 70 times 7, yes, even then. Because what a changed attitude by the Spirit of God does is raise our altitude as well. And that's what the rest of Matthew 18 is getting at when it talks about going to the brother and trying to work out a reconciling manner, bringing two or three to the situation, and then even to the church. Again, not so that we can carry out the discipline of the church, but so that whether it's one, or two, or three, or eight, or six, the whole body of Christ, sinners are brought to repentance and healed by Jesus Christ. James Calvin, who has been hired by our synod to go through a number of districts in our church body, speaks about this in a book that she has written and seminars which she conducts entitled Peace in the Parish. Some of you have heard him. He writes, "The source of Christian forgiveness is not my perception, which sees you as worthful, but it is the Christ-centered fact that we have been forgiven." Notice the corporate we. Notice the corporate we in the text. The raising of the altitude. It is not a matter of forgiver and forgivee, but it is a matter of forgiven. He writes, "True forgiveness comes when Christians together raise up, turn, and show the mirror of Christ's face, which is the same mirror, the same face that has already been turned to me and to you." And then, he writes, "The goal of Christian forgiveness," and I think it is really that core of the text this morning, "is the restoration and the building up of relationships." That's why we're ambassadors for Christ. That's why we have been called as ministers of reconciliation. And so we celebrate today not only our changed attitude to Christ, but what that will do to the church. And what we pray God is going to happen to the church this summer, and so that we can get back to being positive, enthusiastic, Christ-centered witnesses for Him throughout the rest of the year and to the future. And so that it happens in each one of our lives. So that we are raised up to be the body of Christ, to be different in the world, to be set apart, but yet to set apart the glory of God which is in Christ Jesus. May your attitude, my attitude, our altitude be raised by the Spirit.